Shut up and sit down.
I believe you have my stapler.
Bicycle man. Bicycle man.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
Bicycle man.
You are listening to the 100th episode of the Dialed Podcast with Matt Legrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turin. Sorry for making you do this so many times. Trust me, I feel your pain.
He's a bicycle man.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Bicycle man is a bicycle man.
I'm one of those guys that really just doesn't like podcasting. When people podcast, when people do what I'm doing right now, like exactly what I'm doing right now.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I am Jake Von Deering, and today I'm here with Lance Hepler.
Lance Romance, live in studio.
Live, not studio.
We're not in the studio. We are...
It's kind of like a studio.
Ben's Bottle Shop.
We're at Ben's Bottle Shop in Vancouver, Washington. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Good times. Exactly. To his right, Evan Price.
That's like an actual relevant question now. What is everybody drinking? Usually it's just Kirkland sparkling water, but now Lance is the only Kirkland.
This is courtesy of David Bussey.
Oh, thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.
That's our sponsor. Right there.
Yeah, he only brought one for me, so I'm sorry for you guys.
We're stuck with beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got zero beverages.
Jake has literally eaten just popcorn today, I think. So yeah,
little fun fact, though, I've been dry for this entire year. I haven't had a single glass.
Seriously?
Nothing. Yeah.
Really?
We're doing this weight loss challenge thing, right?
I've been dry since this got done.
Quietly creeping up on winning that. I'm only about 3 pounds away.
Oh my gosh!
Were you 7 pounds down?
I am 7 pounds down.
Remember, this is just see how much you can lose in January. This isn't.
Oh, this is just a 10-pound challenge.
I actually yesterday weighed in 10 pounds under
from
January 1st.
Now,
good for you.
Got to have photo evidence.
I've got digital evidence.
Digital evidence, does that count?
My scale talks to my phone and tells me,
seriously?
You're fat. so that hurts, but I'm drinking and eating quite a bit here, so I'm probably pushing.
Keep doing that, buddy.
I'm probably.
I got another burger for you over there.
I weigh as much as the three of us all together.
So. Oh, look at that. Wow. For Jake.
All right.
From your
service.
So fantastic.
To Evan Price's right, the one and only Matt Legrand.
Today, Evan and I are looking into each other's
eyes. It's way too far away from you. I'm used to being right here.
Yeah.
We usually play footsie. To you. Yeah. I know, yeah.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of Ben's Bottle Shop? You guys are looking fantastic.
Yeah, you do.
You look good.
Yeah,
you guys.
This
look
is the
really
first
good.
Time Matt's actually been able to see you guys. Usually, just assuming you all look
I
good.
I assume. Yeah, and
he makes
I always
strong
assume,
assumptions.
Assume
yeah.
correctly. Mm-hmm. I always assume correctly. Yeah. Yep.
All right, you guys. Backpedal, sprint style. Go, Lance.
Oh, I can't do anything. Sprint style. Fast.
I've got a timer on Lance for this
sprint
one.
Sprint style. That means 45 minutes for Lance.
Okay. Actually, this last week I almost put in 20 hours.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, it was actually a recovery week. So it was nothing difficult or hard. It was mostly just aerobic efforts. So it was just a couple hours of aerobic efforts every day. And so that's why the hours
did your plan say do 20 hours this week?
No, it did not.
Yeah, I figured.
Because it doesn't account for any outdoor hours that I really do.
But this cracks me up. We just had this talk last week. I was like, Lance is really locked in on actually staying consistent with a structured schedule. And then you're recovery week, I read 20 hours. That's not a recovery week.
How many KMs were there this week, Lance?
I don't think I got any.
First thing he tells me is I tied you on the 205 bridge up today.
Yeah.
I got really close.
Recovery work right here.
I got really close.
That's today?
That was today, yeah. I actually went for a ride with my wife this morning.
Ooh,
this afternoon.
Brandy,
who was back there in the back ignoring us.
Yeah.
Hi, Brandy.
Yeah. And we rode together for a few miles, and then I went off and did my own thing, and the wind was right, and I just kind of went for it up the 205 bridge, and I tied Jake's time, which was...
An accomplishment.
An accomplishment.
Absolutely.
So
that was old Jake, though. So.
That was old Jake. So no KWIMs, but... But,
20 hours under the belt.
There's another 20-hour week to come.
One thing I did finally get the Tron bike this week.
Did you really?
Swift.
Oh, big news.
Yes. So it took me 2.5 years of working on that challenge to finally get. I think you have to climb like 164,000 feet. It's 50,000 meters of climbing.
50,000.
On Zwift.
Meters.
Yeah. And so
technically 0 meters because, you know, you're on a trainer. But
that's correct.
50,000 meters.
50,000 meters.
Funny little story. There's a gentleman who rides in our community named Perry York. You guys may or may not know him.
I know him.
He sends me a message because he listened to our podcast and he was hearing you talk about that. He's like, yeah, I just crossed over that 167,000 feet threshold. And I realized that I didn't sign up for the challenge. He thought he just got the bike.
Wait, you have to sign up for the challenge?
Yes,
yes sir.
Oh, what? Oh, I didn't know that.
You have to sign up for it.
You sign up for a challenge.
He's like, where's my bike?
Yes.
Can you sign does it start at zero when you sign up for the challenge?
Yes.
Oh, that is absolute.
Well, I'm never going to get that Tron bike. I was just riding a lot of hills lately because I was like, Lance is talking about this bike.
I had no idea.
Oh, man. What's it? You just signed up for a challenge on Zwift.
On Zwift. Yeah.
That sucks.
Might as well sign up for it.
I know. So,
did you finish your sprint there?
I think I. Wait, was there something else?
Yeah, pound the microphone.
I did.
Smack the microphone.
I did do an FTP test this morning.
Oh,
my gosh. You're turning into a real cyclist.
I know.
FTP test, recovery week. Yeah. Those go together, right?
No, exactly. No. That makes sense. Yeah,
it's kind of like Evan's speedos and bikes, man.
Exactly,
come on.
Yeah. Speedos and triathlons, yeah.
That was part of the plan was you do 4 weeks or do 3 weeks of training.
Yeah.
And then you have a recovery week, and then you test your FTP at the
then
end of the recovery
week.
Then
you do 20 hours into an FTP test. Yeah, so that makes sense. Okay.
And my FTP went up 10 watts.
Where you at?
Are you willing to share that number here live at Ben's Bottle Shop?
This is like a, how big is your penis?
Hold on, hold on.
That's a pretty personal
Any
question.
Guesses on what Lance's FTP was when he did his test today?
PG, yes.
I'd say at least 2 to 3 inches.
This is
a personal question.
This is a personal question.
FTP is a personal, I don't think you should give that answer.
Spill, Lance. Come on. What is it?
My indoor FTP is probably not as high as you think.
No, we know. So like it's usually like 15 to we'll say 10 to 20 watts less than outdoor usually.
Which test? I did the
ramp test.
I did the. It's like a 25-minute ramp test on Trainer Road.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little different than the FTP test that you take on
that
Zwift.
Painful. 25 minutes.
Yeah, and it just goes up like 25 watts every minute, and you just go until failure.
That sounds like actual torture.
Yeah. So, it was like 270, which is less than I thought, but not bad. So
I still think you're higher than that.
Yeah, you are higher than that. I think my
outdoor FTP is.
You're 310.
Is probably.
I'd be curious to see.
I've ridden with you recently. You're.
I'd be curious to see on a fresh day where your FTP was at on an actual FTP test, and then what that was even done. Like if you were to do it outside as well, like what would it be? So
true.
I would put money on 300.
Guarantee you're over 300 because I've hit 270 before and I've never been able to bike with you ever.
That's not true. That's a bike with me.
That's not true.
On the sweater.
We biked. Yeah. We did that one ride that one time.
Yeah. All right. Moving forward. Evan, backpedal for us.
Here, I'll do a 30-second one. Me and Tonk organized a Zwift Century ride, which ended up being as fun as it sounded. It was 5 hours.
That sounds terrible.
But I talked to like Jake on the phone.
Yep.
I talked to Tonk like 3 times on the phone. Talked to Cassie on the phone. Talked to like everybody in my phone. I was just calling people randomly just to talk at some point. I felt like somebody.
You talked to me on the phone
this
too.
This is what I feel like the scientists in like Antarctica. That's what they got. They just got to be like scrolling through their phone. Like, who can I talk to right now? Who can I talk to? That's all I was doing the whole time.
I joined you on half of that ride. It wasn't too bad, and I was in the same boat as you. I had 3 different phone calls, and I had 2 people stop by.
Yeah.
The 2 people who stopped by were there for almost an hour, and then the 3 phone calls were probably another hour. So, they were north of that because I didn't have any time to watch my YouTube videos.
That actually makes the ride probably go by faster, at least. Yeah,
I was texting Jake the whole time in the middle of that as well. Yep. Because
I tried to figure out Discord. It's shocking. I was not able to figure out Discord. I know that is wildly shocking.
I titled that. I rode with you guys for just a bit, and I titled it like Evan's Technology Conference.
Yes.
Because nobody could hear Evan because he wasn't on Discord.
And then the next day, I figured out how to Zwift race with the help of Alan Plank. So Alan Plank helped me figure out how to Zwift race.
Yes.
It was great.
How'd that race go?
I really like where my fitness on the bike is right now.
Hey,
put there. Yeah.
So. Stop being all coy like Lance over here. How did you finish up?
For about an hour, I put out 300 watts and felt pretty comfortable.
In the race?
Yeah.
Okay, where did you finish in the race?
Second. Okay, I was nice. Second. The first guy, so here's the problem, is Alan told me you got to go fast out the gate.
Yeah.
I accidentally chose the climb to the sky, so I did Alpe de Zwift.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't realize I was doing Alpe de Zwift, so I was like, oh, I got to put out like 450 to get with the group because I was doing the A race.
Yeah.
So I put out 450 for the first like 2 minutes and then realized that the guy out in front had to be a robot or something because he 2 minutes later drops out of the race. So then just me and this other guy, and I have definitely burned like three matches in the first like 5 minutes of this race. And then you got to climb 10 miles basically uphill.
So the race was the top of Alpe de Zwift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much did he get you away?
He ended up getting maybe like 45, 50 seconds by the top. Yeah, he was just holding the gap through like the entire second half.
So do it again, and how do you finish? Do you think you get him?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, if I don't toast myself in the first couple of minutes.
And that was the A race.
Yeah.
God, that's
I'm
solid.
Climbing well right that's now. I feel good.
Really good.
Yeah.
It helps if you lie about your weight.
This is the thing, is I actually, after that weighed, I actually need to lie better because I had 2 pounds heavier than what I am right now.
Wow.
So I need to lie harder on Zwift.
Good job, man.
To lie more.
That's awesome.
Matt, backpedal, bud.
Swam a lot, ran a little bit. I actually did a couple runs with my wife in the morning where I just ran up and down my street.
I saw that.
I did Pilates with Jake.
Yes, sir. Ooh.
I rode Zwift with Evan just for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that was it. Great week.
That was a fun week from that, yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't get a ton of training in, but, you know, life is
He was
tough.
At the Lakeside Long Run, and he was doing...
I did camera stuff.
Yeah. Lakeside Long Run. I got to watch his drone skills, impressive.
I had all my kids this weekend because my wife was out of town, so not a lot of training. That's how it goes.
Sweet. Yeah.
Dad life.
Yeah.
I've been there, and I've done that quite a few times.
I saw a funny thing when you were looking at the drone, when Ethan and Dash were lightsabering each other, and Dash went for a really hard swing, and he swings around on 1 foot, falls over, and Ethan hits him as he's going down, and Dash is just like chucks the lightsaber at him on the ground. I'm just like, Matt's going to look over at some second here. He's got to deal with this situation. No.
Dads can ignore stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, Dash figured it out. He got up. He was okay. He dusted it off.
Yeah.
Right on.
Jake, back pedal.
I rode my bicycle outside for the first time since December 26th yesterday.
My goodness.
Yes.
It was far too long.
Gravel, too.
It was gravel, yep. And I've been sick, and I'm starting to feel better. So I got a few Zwift rides in, got to ride with a team this week, and decided that it was time to get outside and do some riding, and I felt good.
Was anyone from the audience with you on your bike ride yesterday?
No, I went by myself.
By yourself, solo.
Solamente. And the reason for that was I have been sick. I had no idea how I was going to feel. I had in my head what I wanted to do, but didn't want to have people with me in case I had to turn around because I just was feeling crappy. So it was like 30-ish miles, 30, 31 miles or something like that. It was fun.
Nice.
Good
nice,
day.
Nice.
So. Other than that, not much else going on. Just looking forward to another week. Getting closer to training camp, so I'm really trying to focus in on getting my fitness back in.
What week is training camp again?
Last week of February.
Correct, 22nd to the 29th of February. So.
Gotcha. I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida while you guys are doing that. Woo! No biking. No biking in Tampa, Florida.
There you go.
Biking in Florida is terrible, as Lance knows.
Yep. It's not great.
It could be better.
It could be better.
Hey, champ. Lead out news.
Lead out news. Yes. Champ Bailey here. All right.
There's some good news in the cycling world.
We may have to project our voice a little bit because the crowd can't hear us at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're enjoying their adult beverages and their burgers, it looks like.
This place has great burgers. Ben's Bottle. Anybody who's listening is from Vancouver, Washington. Ben's Bottle Shop has great burgers. They really do. They have a bison burger. It's delicious.
Yeah.
That's my lead out news. Boom.
Damn.
Okay, first bit of lead out news. Cyclocross World Championships coming up in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And Wout Van Aert has decided that he is going to
race.
He is.
Yeah.
So he was one of the, I think the Belgians have,
I thought for sure
eight
he was
people
going
in the
to.
Race or something.
I was going to be shocked if he decided not.
Okay,
to.
Let's take bets.
Yeah,
let's take bets on what we think he's gonna where he could lay out
podium
podium.
I'm gonna say third.
You're gonna say third
podium. Yep.
I think if he's top 10, I think he'll break the top 10.
Okay,
that's it.
What you're gonna say? 10th.
10th.
Mr. Von Doering, this is not Price is Right rules. This
is
closest.
Yeah, this isn't
closest.
Bust if you're over. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to say he just misses the podium with a fifth.
Fifth?
Yeah.
He was fifth in his first race back, so that's...
I'm going to say fourth place.
Just to be that guy.
So I'm the outlier.
Lance is the outlier.
I'm the outlier.
It's okay. Yep.
So yep. Who knows?
Nobody says he's going to win. Because who do you think is going to win?
Vanderpool's going to win. Yeah. Vanderpool will be there. If he goes, he should win.
Yeah.
There was Vanderpool news this week as well. He did kind of announce his schedule for the year. And his focus is actually the Olympics mountain bike race.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Yes. So that's what he really wants to do well. He's also going to finish out the cyclocross season.
Yep.
And then he's going to race the spring classics, Strade Bianchi.
Let me give it.
Yeah, he's doing Paris-Roubaix too.
And his team got picked as a wild card for Paris-Roubaix. So he will be at Paris-Roubaix.
Let's say Vanderpool.
Magically, he got picked.
What if Vanderpool wins cyclocross worlds, Paris-Roubaix, and the Olympic mountain bike race? Is that the greatest cycling season of all time?
That's pretty impressive if that happens.
Is that the greatest all-round cycling season ever?
Wildly diverse. Greatest ever? I don't know, man. But it's up there. It's definitely
up there.
Has there
ever been... I mean, there was Cadel Evans who came from mountain biking as a world champion and then won the tour. But he was not doing them simultaneously.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a guy who's won a spring classic and a mountain bike race in the same season in the modern era of cycling.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one I can think of is Sagan, but he didn't win anything.
No.
No,
yeah.
He didn't do that well in the mountain biking side of things.
He flatted.
No.
Oh, he flatted.
Is that what it was? Flatted.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Do you think cyclocross should be an Olympic sport?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes? Yes? Yeah. Audience, cyclocross, Olympic sport. Am I the only one that thinks no?
Matt,
it's only you. Oh, I was just going to go
What
no.
about Iron Man, Matt? Do you think Iron Man should be an Olympic sport?
Oh, God, no.
It's a winter sport.
Definitely winter.
Got the fire hoses and stuff.
Oh, that's too funny.
All right.
The audience, for the people listening to the podcast, the audience said yes for the most part to the Olympic.
Should be an Olympic sport.
I think a cowbell and cyclocross is a resounding yes.
That's an affirmative.
Or it also can be used as a heckling device, I believe, too. Can it?
Absolutely.
I think it depends on the tone of the cowbell.
Any more lead out news, or
that's,
is that it?
That's all the lead out news I've got.
Champ Bailey. I've got one to add to Champ here.
Oh,
real
God.
Quick.
Here we go.
Well, he was just going to give me one here. Also in Tour de France news, Romain Bardet has decided he is not going to race the Tour.
Really? Why?
Which is very big news. He's going to focus on the road race and the Olympics and the Giro.
Okay.
Are his two things.
I think it's
a massive cop-out move.
I think
sad.
So, too.
I think it's a huge cop-out move.
Okay, it's a big move for him because he is one of the best French cyclists right now.
Yeah.
France had their best tour in a long time last year.
But France has not won the Tour de France since...
Bernard Hinault in 1987 or 6.
You've got to know that
a long time.
Somebody's got to err an omission me on that one.
Oh, yeah.
So because of that...
Last French winner of the Tour.
Year that Bernard Hinault won the Tour.
Last
French cyclist. Somebody airs no missions. I said 1987.
Sounds good enough.
We'll get it.
Close enough.
Yeah,
so
we'll get it.
The thing about it, though, is, you know, he has taken third in the Tour. He's taken second in the Tour. And then this last year,
He was way out, I think,
this last
year. He's
just off the podium. And I think he decided...
Pinot would have been right there. Yeah.
Maybe he's the big hope for this year.
I think that's why Bardet's not there, is Bardet has decided he can't compete with Pinot in the Tour.
That's
my opinion, but we'll see. Okay.
Cop out. Yep.
All
right. A couple topics for today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
This is where we get to hear from other people, which I like.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. It's coming. It's coming. First topic, what have you learned from this podcast? This is our 100th episode. We're here live at Ben's Bottle Shop.
Yeah.
Recap it for us. What have you learned from this thing?
I got this. This is
100 weeks. That's 100 weeks of
this
podcast.
This is easy.
Bring it.
What I've learned from this podcast, Lance rides a lot. Evan does not take any breaks from training. Or any easy days. And Jake knows how to put together a ridiculous bike team.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
That's what you've learned.
It's been 2 years, right?
Jake also knows how to figure out how to put together like a podcast central thing faster than I've seen anybody do this. I was just telling Lance, this would have taken me like 2 days
to
construct.
You would not have gotten it.
Yeah, there's a couple wires here, but we're
1985.
All good.
Thank you, Mike. 1985 was when Bernard Hinault won his last Tour de France.
So if we were playing Price is Right, I would have beat you because you said 87 and I said 86.
Right.
So
over.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner,
there
baby.
There you go. Yep. I owe you a beer.
Okay, here's what I've learned in 100 weeks of this podcast.
Okay.
Matt LeGrand has dreamy velvet eyes.
Dreamy.
He does.
Absolutely.
He does. Yes.
I've learned that. I've learned that an unfocused writing schedule is not a training plan. And that's all. I've learned nothing else. That's all.
Matt's eyes. Ride your bike more focused.
Ride your bike more focused.
How about you, Evan?
I've learned that Matt LeGrand is potentially equally as popular on YouTube as an attractive young man from Florida who pop sings.
Yeah. I was going to ask you which Matt LeGrand is, yes. You know, are you talking about here?
I've also found out that Jake now has a passion for photography, which means I'm waiting for now Jake's YouTube channel to then rise to Matt's here soon.
It'll take like a week and a half and he'll be way past me.
I doubt that.
And then when we hit the 200th podcast, I'm hoping we have a nice competition, you know, somewhere in the million subscriber range for Matt and Jake there.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff coming down that pipeline, so stay tuned. Just in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see some cool stuff.
And then, whoa. I also learned that unfortunately now Jake can climb, or Lance can climb now, so I need to get better at climbing so Lance doesn't drop me on our long rides.
Jake, you have learned nothing.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I've learned that this is a really small world we live in. I still cannot wrap my head around the fact that people from 36 countries have listened to us ramble on about all of our cycling minutia. That like just Iceland. Blows my head. Yeah.
How many listeners did we get from Iceland that one time?
Hey, by show of hands, has anybody else here ever trended in Russia for anything ever?
It was like Russia and Ukraine too,
I'm
or something
huge
like
in
that.
Russia.
Huge in Russia. Huge in Russia. Yeah, it's just like these random places that people listen to us, and it blows my mind, and it still happens to this day. But I've also learned that this cycling community is even greater than I thought it was, and there's so many great people, and I love showing up to places and people coming up and saying, hey, I love listening to the podcast. It's a lot of fun, and I appreciate what you do, and you know, people telling you their stories and telling about all the different places that they've listened to it or how it's gotten them through, you know, fun times, boring times, any kind of times, and that makes me happy. It makes me want to do this. If there was one person sitting in this room and one person listening outside, I'd still do it if they were like giving me positive feedback.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of people that listen to it, and I appreciate that, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So
I'll say, just to get on a sappy note too, that this podcast for me was awesome. Being somebody who was new to this region. Yeah. Didn't know a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've met people just through this podcast. Outside of made three lifelong friends off, obviously, but. Also, this podcast, for a lot of tough moments in our community, was very therapeutic.
Yeah,
true.
And I kind of learned really the power, I think, the cycling community in Vancouver, Camas, in Portland.
For sure.
And it's a strong cycling community.
You know,
just people-wise. Like, strong riding aside, like just people-wise.
To springboard off of that, I mean, you guys all know I got hit by a car. And that was, it still is to this day, a year and 8 months later. It's still tough for me. And there's a lot of stuff that I had to go through, but being able to come back to this every single week, sit down at the table with you guys, to go through this show and to be prepared, helped take my mind off of the fact that I was dealing with a lot of pain. I'm dealing with a lot of, like, you know, just trying to get back into being myself and trying to come to terms or grips with the fact that I'll probably never be the same. I'm at ease with that because I get to come back and do this every single week. So it's been therapeutic for me, which is a good thing. So
I mean, going from Jake's accent to... You know, when our good friend Mike Myers
Lucy
passed,
Michael,
that was,
yes.
I mean, this to me on a weekly basis during that time period, I know for all of us, it was big.
Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you guys want to share?
I'm just happy I can spend time with you guys every week. It really is.
We'll allow it.
All right.
That was the other awesome part is we always remember, I mean, like, did we decide what number podcast did you come on, Lance?
Three.
It was three, wasn't
it? Number three.
I'm invited
myself on.
That was the best part. Was Lance? It's like
the first two people should just not listen to.
Don't even listen to the first two.
Yeah. Without Lance.
Well, because that was a problem. I think at that time it was Lance and maybe two other people were listening. So we just took one of our listeners and came on the show. Yeah.
Have we ever
had only two listeners at that time.
Have we ever mentioned the fact that the first podcast we put out wasn't even supposed to be a podcast? It was just supposed to be us sitting around practicing and we recorded it. We finished like, that's all right. Let's just go and put that out there.
That works.
That was fun.
Like, what's a good one? I'm not sure if that one works.
Fun. Yeah. All right. Let's move into our next quick topic. Kind of a nice little segue. This is our 100th show. Let's talk about centuries. The century mark.
Century ride.
Century.
Century. And we're not talking metric. Come on, people.
Please don't ostracize our European listeners. That's really where we got a lot of our sponsors from, was our European listeners, so be careful there.
Yes. That's true.
Metric centuries are centuries, too. They're just for softer writers. So, yeah.
All right. Imperial system, people.
Harken back to the day where you had never done a century before.
Yeah.
And then think about the lead up to that first one. Was there a lot of preparation there? Do you even remember your first century?
Yes.
Was it a daunting task? Did you fly through it? What was it like for you guys?
I'll tell my first, because it's the shortest by far. Mine was in Ada, Ohio, on my Allais aluminum road bike on a loop that was 25-mile, literally square loop.
Legs, okay.
Out in Cornfield, Ohio.
That's actually tough.
It was almost exactly four loops is really what the century was. Did it by myself on a day when there was 35-mile-an-hour gust winds.
Went
out there with two gels and two water bottles and decided that was going to be enough. Made it through it, came back, and considered quitting cycling probably after that.
That's the same bike you still have to this day.
That is the same bike that is about to be replaced. But yes.
So what made you want to go out and do a century, though? I mean, a lot of people that don't ride bikes will come up to you like, you rode your bike 100 miles?
I don't even drive that far.
Yeah,
I love that.
I had friends who were bike racing that
year.
And I was doing triathlons too, but I thought, well, if I want a bike race, like, I need to probably get a pretty solid aerobic base. And
sure.
I was like, maybe I should just ride 100 miles every weekend.
Gotcha.
So that was originally the plan. Was I was like, I'll just get ready for Cat 5 racing by just riding 100 miles every weekend. That lasted like two weekends. I was like, 80's good. 80 sounds fine. It was actually 75 because that loop was basically three times.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you, that the way, you know, those loops are hard because it's like, if you come through and you're 75, and you're like, I got to go back out. I got no water and no gel.
Uh-huh.
So.
And the thing about a country mile is it's actually like 8 miles. So you just basically go straight for 8 miles, then you take a right, then you take another right, then you take then you just bring her
That's
in.
That's a tough way to do it.
It was a lot of very, very boring riding out there.
How much elevation gain on that?
Probably like 200 feet elevation gain, honestly.
That's
the one elevation gain was a highway overpass in Ada, Ohio. That
gotcha.
Was the wind was awful, though. I would take 8,000 feet of climbing over how awful that wind was. So.
I don't disagree with you on that one. Hey, Matt, how about you?
Yes, I remember mine quite well. First century ride that I did was, it probably wasn't that long ago. It was probably 6 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
And I was trained for an Ironman, so I knew that I needed to like build up to 112-ish miles or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have this ride every spring here in the Pacific Northwest, and it's called the Ride Around Clark County. Clark County is where I live and a lot of us live. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice little century ride, a little bit of climbing, like 5,000 feet or somewhere between 5 and 6 or something like that. It's not crazy, but it's nice. And I was trained for an Ironman, so I was fit and I was ready for it. And I rode with a group of triathletes and I crushed. I mean, I was solid the whole time.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, first 100, this guy's going to crack or whatever it was. But I was fine. I've cracked in many 100-miler. But not that particular, the first one.
You would have dropped me so hard on that ride then.
No,
you would have.
I wouldn't. I just, you know, I was riding with a whole bunch of people that were like, oh, this is his first 100. I want to go with him for his first 100 and see him suffer. And I was just I had done like multiple 60s, multiple 80s. Like I was ready.
Oh, then you're fine.
And it was like, I was fine. I had like all the food and stuff that I needed. And I was riding with riders that like weren't going to put it to me.
Yeah.
So,
who was on that ride that like I would know?
Let's not name names.
Like no.
Okay, okay. So
let me take it. Was like Scott Goodrich on that ride?
No, he would destroy me.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I was wondering.
So JP, who's been on the
JP,
podcast before,
yeah,
he was on there, and he was one of those guys that could just be like, oh, this is Matt's first 100. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do this with him. But he hadn't prepped any or whatever,
gotcha.
And so I was fine riding with him.
He was too busy killing dolphins. Got
and
it.
And then it was like Denise and Bob Croucher. Like we just had like that Lacamus group or whatever, and so it was good people. And we were regrouping a lot, so I was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it wasn't that miserable experience where I only bring two gels and two water bottles or something stupid like that. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right?
What idiot would do that?
What idiot would do that?
What 19-year-old idiot would do that?
Yeah. And so then after that, you kind of get brash and confident, and then you go out there and you just absolutely crack. Like most of the times that I've done centuries, I've just cried my way home.
So after that one, you thought like, oh yeah, this is how a century feels each time. Yeah.
And I think what I did that particular year. So I did, I did three of those kind of century rides, that rack course, and each one was like faster, you know, and you're trying to spend more time in aero bars and all this stuff like that. And I was pretty well prepared for my Ironman Canada, and I think that was 2013. So
was it 2014 when you did Arizona then?
No, that was 2017. So I did, 2017. I did like,
oh, duh, yeah, because I met you by that
I did like Canada, Arizona, so something like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep.
Jake?
My first century came after, well, basically, I used to ride the mountain bike a lot, so the notion of doing 100 miles was just like, oh, that's so foreign to me, because like you don't ride.
Yeah, it's like a 20-mile
ride. Like, you can go out and ride 3 hours, but you're only going to get like maybe 30 miles because you're doing so much climbing. So, you know, you hear these people talking about it, and then there was a point in time, too, where I was off the bike for a little while because we're having kids and doing all this stuff and working and yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, someone coaxed me into like, hey, come out and do this 100-mile ride over the weekend. It was a Saturday-Sunday deal. And I'm like, I can do that. So it's 60 miles the first day, 40 miles the second day. And that was the first time I did that MS Bay to Bay ride.
Oh, yeah.
So I went out there, did that, and I about died the first day just from doing 60 miles. Because leading up to that, I'd ridden probably three times in, like, maybe a year. It was, like, it was terrible. I mean, I was so deconditioned. I'm like, nah, it's relatively flat. We're just going to ride on road bikes. Yeah. It's easy peasy.
I can figure this out.
I almost died. And then it took all of my might to get back on the bike the second day and ride another 40 miles with monkey butt all the way down there. It was just terrible. Yeah. So when I finished that, I'm looking around seeing all these people, and I don't want to – they're just average-looking people, and they're all doing, like, oh, yeah, I did the 150. I did 100 the first day and 50. Yeah. I'm like – dude, if you can do that, I can do that. Yep. I should be in better shape. So I pretty much the next year started getting back in the swing of things and started getting back on the mountain bike and racing a little bit, and started riding my road bike a lot more because I knew that in order to gain that fitness that you need, got to get on the road bike. That was the year that I fell in love with my road bike. Mm-hmm. And then I came back out that next year, signed up for the MS Bay to Bay, the 150 version. So we're doing 100 the first day, and it ended up being it was like 102 or something. I got a picture of it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I ended up finished that one. And that was, I didn't do a century leading up to that. I'm like, I'm just going to let that be my first century. And I finished it in like 5 hours and 20 minutes by myself.
Oh my goodness.
So, and that was with,
that's a solid bit.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a solid pace.
It was about 5,500 to 6,000 feet of elevation
that's
gain
a
too.
Really
so
solid.
It was good. I mean, I spent a whole year doing that. So that was a lot of fun, and I was able to get back on the bike the next day, and that was good.
Yeah.
So that was my first century that it actually went really well. Mm-hmm. So it was the year before that, trying to do a century over 2 days. Not so pretty.
And then you had to move up to Washington.
Eventually, yeah. But yeah, I did, when I used to live down in Southern California, I've done a lot of centuries since then.
Yeah.
So, but up here, I've done more ostentatious things, bigger achievements. So
yeah.
200-mile ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So let's
STP,
let me ask you this. We just talked about a first one. What's the most difficult one you've ever done? What's the most difficult century you've ever done?
So, for me, I actually don't even remember my first century. I did.
Oh, wait, did you? You didn't tell me.
But that's because I don't remember it.
Sorry, maybe that's why, because you were saying that, yeah.
That's the first time Mike's like, no, I'm fine with getting skipped over there. I don't want to.
I did my first Ironman race in 2003, so it would have been before that.
Sure.
And I believe... I don't remember if it was that year or the year after, but I did the Seattle to Portland ride, which is 200 miles, so it's a double century.
206. Please don't leave off that last 6 miles, because those last six miles, those are hell.
And I did it with a group of triathletes. Yeah. It was the Headhunter group as well, same that Matt was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first 140 miles were actually fairly pleasant and not bad.
You know what? I remember the first time
last. It's that last metric. It's the metric. It's the metric century. That was terrible.
Just destroyed me.
Imperial century, easy. Metric century, very hard.
In classic Lance style, I did not take it that easy for the first 100 miles.
Yeah.
I remember that there was. We're riding from Seattle all the way to Portland. There were different pace lines that everybody was working in, and we had started later in the morning. And we were with a group of like seven people, and I remember there
That's
was one point
group.
Where I had gone to the front of our group, and I'm pulling along, and we'll go around this like slow corner or like an easy corner, and I look behind me, and there were literally like 60 people in a single file line all behind me.
Nice.
And I'm like, I think I'm working too hard.
I know. And sure enough,
they should be a little bit more bunched up than that.
Sure enough, about mile 140, I just completely cracked. I just fell apart. I mean, I limped home. I did finish the 206 miles. Yeah. But
so that was the year that you guys had a big group.
We had a big group.
Yeah. And Bob was in charge, and it was like pacelining the whole way.
Yeah. We were pacelining the whole way. I just happened to be pulling a lot. I remember pulling a lot.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I would imagine the first 50 miles, Lance was like, okay, I'm going to do 90% of the work the entire 206 miles.
Brilliant.
did you have a TT bike?
I was on a time trial bike with air bars.
I did that same thing, 200 plus miles in a TT bike, and I remember like pulling really hard and looking back and having a huge group.
Yeah,
like, just going through that like army base or whatever it is. I don't remember what it was. It was like, this is awesome, but this is stupid.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think we all had that same moment. Like, what are you doing right now? Why are you doing this? You know you're going to kill yourself later on for what you did.
I think it was like a Coke and like two gels that saved me at like mile 150 or 160.
Is that when you found the power of Coca-Cola?
I think I may have, because I was passing out.
That was like
I was looking for a place to take a nap.
You were like, this energy drink stuff is pretty good. I think I might get strongly addicted to this.
I should probably drink two of these a day for the rest of my life. That's a good idea.
How about you, Evan?
When I reconned the Louisville Ironman course with my mother, that was one of my like first four or five centuries. Went out there and did the same exact thing. So Louisville, of course, was very lumpy, probably like 6,000 feet of elevation gain, I would guess. But at that time, I'd been riding in Ada a bunch, so not climbing a whole lot. So I thought, you know, you just go all out up the uphills, and then you just cruise down the downhills. And that worked great for like, 80 miles until absolutely died. I think I remember it was the aid station, like 85 miles. I went there and I drank three Cokes because I had once again just gone with two water bottles because I didn't like carrying one in my back pocket. So I was like, two bottles of water should be good for this. And I get to that mile 85, I was like, I need something, and had to chug all three Cokes and just cruise it. I mean, it was like if I had to put out over 110 watts, it wasn't going to happen for the life of me for the rest of that ride. So
you did that with your mom. Ballpark, how old were you?
I was 20, I want to say, at that time.
That's cool.
And that was my mom's first full. Was that her first full? I think that was her first full. And we were going to ride together, and then I was the bleep son who basically decided at mile 20, I was like, I'm going to go with the fast guys. There was a fast guy group, and I just ditched my mom. I just ditched my mom, which I'm sure she told me to, but I was a terrible.
That sounds like my ride this afternoon with my wife. Really? Let's not repeat that.
Oh, you're awful.
She's left already, so
she,
I'm safe.
She left on that comment.
All right, Matt, what was your most difficult century?
Well, I definitely think that 200 miler, 206 or 208, whatever it was, because we took a wrong.
230.
Well,
yeah.
I did the same ride that Jake did, but I went a little bit longer because we took a wrong turn and also to one up Jake.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I remember being really cracked and being like, I can't go with this group anymore. Like, this group is making great time, but I cannot go with them anymore. I am trashed. And it was somewhere around like 150 or 160 or something like that.
Exact mile.
Yeah, so you're in Oregon at this point, and you're coming towards Portland. This is the Seattle to Portland ride. And I stopped, grabbed a cup of coffee, sat there, drank a mocha. I think it was a mocha. And it was so good. Then I got back. So get this.
Oak milk latte, please.
I got back on my bike, caught the group.
Oh, my goodness.
And then sprinted at the finish.
Are you sure there wasn't something else in that drink?
There's crack cocaine.
I think so. I think something
so
was in there.
So I caught the group, and I'm like, yeah, let's work. Let's go. And then, like, this is like, has this guy ever had caffeine before? And then it was just like, and we come into Portland, and I'm, like, sprinting at every, like, because you go through all these, like, stop signs and stoplights at the finish, and I'm, like, hammering all of them, like, feeling like a million bucks.
Why, though?
And I was like, I need this drug right before an Ironman race, when it actually matters and it's not the Seattle to Portland ride. But that was a hard ride for sure. But I've had a lot of 100 milers where I've just cracked and just limped home.
Yeah.
So it's hard to remember all of those because you can't think at the time. So
yeah,
your brain doesn't work.
I'm probably in the same boat in terms of most difficult. I mean, 200 is a double century, so obviously. Oh, yeah. But there was one that we did. It was the second one that we did. We were supposed to have a train of guys going down, and we were going for a time trial. Like, we just wanted to crush it. And we did. We were the first ones to finish. We had a pretty solid time.
They barely set the finish line by the time he got there.
But it was that ride at mile 30. I got that flat, and that kid that didn't tell anybody, and they just rode off. I had to time trial by myself for 50 miles to catch back on with them.
50 miles.
I had to go hard.
You're like ruined at that point.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm either going to like just be, this is going to be dumb. I'm going to do this by myself. I'm going to ride with a bunch of people really slow. Or I have an opportunity, because it took me like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to change my flat and get back on. But the problem was, is there was a big pace line of about 30 people. And I'm like, I'm not going to catch them. The only chance I have is them having some sort of a flat mechanical, stopping at the aid station to get food, bathroom, or something like that. And I'm kind of in that window where that's going to happen. Maybe I can catch them by the halfway mark, the century mark in Centralia. Yeah. And sure enough, I caught them about mile 80 or 85. And it was just over 50 miles where I was laying down north of 300 watts that whole 50 miles to catch up to them.
Oh, my God. And so when I started that ride with you guys, I was riding with you guys. Awful. I was like, I was pushing that much wattage to start the 200-mile ride. For the first 20 miles, I was absolutely hammering. And I was like, this is stupid. It's like pitch black, and I'm hammering through thousands of people pushing like 300 watts. I was like, this
is
a dumb...
It's so fun to pass people.
I was like, I guess I'm just going to let those guys go. Yeah.
So I figured I could get to Centralia, and if I didn't catch them, then maybe I'll just find some slower people and chill out and limp it on home. But I was seeing shrapnel that was falling off of that group. I'm like, oh, I remember that kid. Or I think I remember seeing that person. I'm like, they can't be too far up the road. Sure enough, one of those guys got a flat, and the guys, once they figured out that I got dropped where it was too far down the road, they're like, oh, well, hopefully he'll catch us.
So, let him go, yeah.
Yeah, but that was a pretty rough one, and it was that century that was in there, that 50 miles where I had to go hard. And then once I caught up to the guys, of course, they want to go hard because they just had a flat, and we wanted to finish in a certain amount of time. You know, we wanted to finish in 9.5 hours elapsed time.
So you had like 5 minutes to breathe, and then
yeah,
right
pretty
back
much.
Into it.
Yeah, so we ended up going back after it, and that was a pretty tough ride. Another pretty tough century for me was training camp last year. We did that 110 miles, and it was 11,000 feet of climbing.
Yeah, you had a good day that day, and you were coming right off of that crash.
Exactly, it was hard.
Crazy.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, under normal.
You guys did 11,000 feet of climbing that day.
Yeah,
some of us did.
How many did you get in?
Just under 10, I think.
Oh, that still counts.
It was a huge day. Yeah,
I did 15.
Was it 15,000 that day?
I think it was 15,000.
I probably remember this conversation. Oh. I just blocked out those numbers.
Yeah. it was an awesome day. Yeah.
So that was a pretty tough one. How many times have you guys done a double? I've done two. I've done STP twice.
You mean like back-to-back days?
Wait, no, you've done a double century in one day.
You've done STP twice?
Never.
Yeah, I did it in 2015 and 2016.
Nice.
In 2015, I went up there, and I didn't know a soul. Not a single person.
You just did it.
I just did it, and I went and rode. And halfway through that ride, I'd met about four or five guys, maybe even five or six guys, and we ended up riding the rest of the thing together, and I'm still friends with most of those guys to this day, which is pretty cool.
The people that I rode with for that ride, I like still follow on Strava and stuff from all over the area. I mean, they're good people for sure.
I need to do STP.
Justin Wagner.
Point.
Yeah,
right?
That's how
Justin
we met Wagner.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Well, just this amazing person.
Yeah. Team ODZ, yeah.
He saw us because when I did that first year, mm-hmm. we were the there was probably like seven or eight people, maybe total, six or seven, whatever. We were the first finishers. And it was like we were 30 or 40 miles out, and one of the guys got a flat tire. And the same punk kid that left the second year.
I know.
So he looked over.
No
he's like, yeah,
names.
He looks over and he's like, oh, we're going to go. We want to win this thing. And we're like, dude, we've been working. And this same kid, and I've told this story before, this same kid bonked at mile 150. And we all gave him all of our nutrition and all of our drinks. Like, yeah.
And he was going to ditch the guy who flatted.
No, he wasn't going to. He did.
I kind of want you to call out this name now. This guy sounds terrible.
No, I'm not going to do that. So,
it's all right. We'll ride with him sometime.
Okay, good.
So
point him out to me.
He took off with this other like schmo that was just like all over the place riding on a bike with some clip-on aero bars. And he was just so bad at bike handling and riding in general.
That was me. It was Emily Grant.
And there was another
some
guy.
Some other triathlete guy.
Another guy. Another guy was like really super quiet, but he's actually he's done some pretty like crazy thing. His name's Peter, and he just kind of went along with these. Like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to go with these guys. But like Strava's actually spotlighted this guy on some of the crazy
rides that he's done. He's
done that's cool.
Like 20,000, 30,000 feet of elevation rides, like multiple
in a ride,
but multiple days in a row.
Oh my god!
Just I'll go back and I'll find that and I'll share that with you guys. But nice. he was an animal. But
yeah,
Those guys left, and then we all pace line back on. We ended up missing them by just a few minutes, but we all finished up there in the top 4 or 5 or 6. And
yeah,
Justin saw that. He pinged me after the race. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna do an average 20-mile-an-hour thing. We saw how you guys did. Can you guys come out and ride with me?" Absolutely. You sound like a cool guy. Let's do it.
Yes. Did you have your power meter on for that whole ride?
Oh, I think I did. I'd have to go back and look.
I would love to know the NP for that ride.
I don't think it's not
like 200, 210.
But you're sitting in the
It's more than that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you set pace line for a
while.
And it's only 5,000 feet of elevation gain over 200 plus miles.
Yeah. So that's just, only 2,500 basically
just,
for 100. Yeah.
There's two short climbs in there. The rest of the stuff is just like rolling little hills.
Roll.
Yeah, you just got to get your mojo on and find that little diesel engine and just go. So, all right. So, double centuries. Matt, how many have you done?
One.
Just STP?
That's enough.
Oh, here, I'll answer. Zero.
Zero.
Okay. Yeah. I've done one.
I've done STP. You're the only one that's done two because that's stupid.
Okay, so Andy Levine on our team is trying to put together a team this year to go up and do STP.
That would
be
cool.
And he wants to...
talk about a diesel engine.
He wants to get the choo-choo train going. So.
It's funny that Lance is like, I only bike 180 miles. I don't know about 200. That sounds crazy.
I just know I'm good for 100 or 120 miles. That last 80 miles.
Nobody's
sucks.
Good for the last eight. Nobody's I'm great for 120 and even better for 200. Like
that's where your Coke's kicking, buddy.
I know.
All right. You know what? I think it's time.
Can we do audience questions?
Yeah, let's
audience
do that.
Questions.
Can we do audience questions? Would you like me first?
All right. Here we go. Audience questions. A little hot seat from the audience.
I'm putting myself to sleep. So you guys are way more interesting.
You'll have to announce. You'll have to give us your name and who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, Laura Anderson.
Long-time listener.
Laura's been on the program
fan
before.
Fan extraordinaire. Yeah. And the first thing I did was look under the table and notice that Lance does wear pants.
That is not true.
That's not true.
They don't know. They don't know.
That's only because he's in public right now.
They don't know if you just say he's naked underneath and they all believe it.
Just so y'all know. So go ahead and clear that out.
Good.
The other thing is I've been dying to know is, Matt, how do you know that I always look so good?
This is a good question. Matt, how do you know this?
How do you know?
He is a coder by chance.
Well, I have wireless cameras. They're
in all of
distributed about. They're distributed
hacker.
Out there.
It's hacker.
The internet is hacked.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but if you're having a bad day, you just listen to the podcast. He tells you how good y'all look.
That's right.
You know those little cameras in your computers?
I'm always
Matt's
watching.
Able to hack into all of those.
I'm always watching. And I'm like, do you look good? Yeah, you do.
No, but on a serious note, thank you for the podcast, and I know you guys get paid a lot, but
from the bottom of my heart,
I really enjoy it, and it motivates and inspires me, and I learn a lot. So 100th anniversary is a big deal, and I think that just means it's 100 hours I didn't work out or could have been doing something.
More like 150.
Could have been learning something. Or
we appreciate that.
And then thanks to you guys, I got inspired to sign up for my first road race. So
yes.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
It's just the piece of cake.
That's a good race, though.
That is not a good race. A race is a race. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Cool.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you for listening, Laura.
Cyclocross next, Laura? Maybe?
I'm looking at a cyclocross bike, actually, but we'll see.
There we go.
Money's,
Turn to the dark side.
Just get a used one.
N plus one.
Yeah. Next, is anyone else, any brave questions?
Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, Randy Frost.
Randy.
Wanted to congratulate you guys. I've been listening since your first episode.
Thank you. I just have to say, we owe you an apology? Is that what you're saying?
I was just amazed by your production value. You guys, from the first episode to your episode 99, there isn't a whole lot of chasm there on your quality and your production value.
Thanks, Evan. Yeah. Thank you, Evan.
It's all Evan.
IT. That's our IT department over there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Congratulations. You guys are doing a fabulous job, and keep it up, and for another 100.
That's nice.
Do you guys mind if I do a hot seat question?
Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
Let's see. Your bucket list ride/race.
Alpe d'Huez. Oh.
Alpe d'Huez would be super cool. Yeah.
Bucket list for me. Go for it. No, I'm just saying, yeah. I did that one over the weekend. It's great. Yeah.
I would like to go ride in Tahoe. Lance talks highly about it. I don't know. Maybe Yamhill should be my bucket list race because that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tahoe is better than Yamhill.
What?
Yeah.
there's some better stuff out there.
Okay.
Sorry.
So for a race for me, it's going to be Leadville. I'd love to go do that. I've been thinking about that for 10-plus years. I've wanted to do that. Maybe someday I'll get back after
Bring the podcast up there.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Live on location.
Yeah. Lance is in race interview.
As far as a road, just ride is concerned, I would love to go over to Paris. He's actually here right now. Where's Terry at? Terry Hamness was there in the summer, and I was living vicariously through him as he was posting up all of his rides, and the pictures he posted up were fantastic. I got to get out there. Yeah, I got to get out there and do that, so maybe we'll get one of our sponsors to send us out
just
there,
just want
right?
to go with me, Jake. Yeah, we'll just go.
Bring the podcast.
That's pretty funny. My bucket list rides the same thing. They're the Alps. It's the Alps in Europe. I would love to do most of those climbs. Actually, I would love to do most of the descents in the Alps, not so much the climbs. But yeah, that's probably what I would hope to do at some point.
That sounds like we just got to take a trip.
We need to do that.
That sounds
That'd be
trip.
Fun.
Yep.
I could actually convince my wife, I think, to be on board for that trip to Europe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Randy. Right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Very much.
Thanks, Randy.
Awesome question.
All right. Mike Reddick here.
Hey, Mike.
Long time caller,
Mike.
First time listener.
There it is.
Good job on everything.
Thank you.
So, you guys did a little survey amongst yourselves about who you would like to have on the show. Lance, Armstrong, or any of those.
Sure. Just threw around a couple names,
My question is, what are you doing to make those things happen? I like that. Armstrong, but also, like, on location, like, get those little interviews and things that would be interesting. I mean, you get Wagner, you get Brandy, you get folks on that are fun to listen to, Whitney, whatever.
Yeah.
You got any ideas, any plans?
They're all
empty promises.
It's all empty promises.
I like when Lance brought, what race did you get?
Was it Rebecca's Private Idaho?
Rebecca's Private Idaho. So basically,
that was one of my favorites.
What have we been doing is basically just Lance.
Traveling.
I would like this year, though, and I know that every single cyclist here is going to groan, but there's a couple races I want to go to this year where I kind of want to sneak in an interview with a couple of my favorite pro triathlete guys, like Andrew Starkowitz and guys like that. easy over there. Okay, easy. But that would be cool. I would really like to do that, actually. So hold me to that, Mike.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I will.
That's a really good question. It's not easy because it turns out that it's hard to get people to come over at noon on Monday to come hang out with us.
You just got to mic them.
Yeah, I guess you got to mic them. But, finding those people, that can come on is one thing. But it's just one of those things for me that life gets so busy. And then, all of a sudden you blink your eyes and we're, having to do another podcast. I'm like, crap, I wanted to get more people on here. We've had a few people on. Meredith, that one, I thought, was a good one. Triathlon Taryn was a cool one. No.
Robert Cummins was awesome.
Yep.
No, it's definitely one of those things where it's like we struggle to – get show notes put together, right? I mean, it's like, whoa, what are we going to talk about?
And, yeah.
It's like, so as prepared as we sound.
Do we? Do we sound prepared?
Really. We're really just,
I see the notes lined up in front of you.
To speak to your point, though, that's going to help us. Because, how many times can we talk about the same thing over and over again? Or how many times can we spin the same concept over and over, but to have people on to talk, that I think that's the next natural progression.
This region is full of interesting people, and I really do think that the next 100, it would be awesome to bring on as many as we can.
Here's what we can ask of all of y'all, though, is feel free to ping people, feel free to tag them, feel free to say, hey, you should listen to this podcast and maybe be on there. That'd be great if you guys could help us out.
Does
with
anybody
that.
Have an in with Lance Armstrong, just some family connection?
Or Lance has met him.
You
asked him a question once.
I've stalked him at his house. That's about it.
It's surprising because a couple of people that I've been like, hey, come on our podcast, they've been like, sure, yes, we'll do it. And so that's been pretty interesting to, you tell them like, hey, we have a decent amount of listeners and, if you want to come promote something, come on and chat. And, I think I'm two for two or, we've had good responses. People are willing to do it, but it takes a little bit of guts to just, reach out and be like, hey, come on our podcast. There's some people like Phil Guymon I would love to have on the podcast. Yeah. There's some people that are just like, this person would be excellent. So it's just a matter of...
Phil Guymon's a good one.
Well, we need to wait for him to like, hey, I'm promoting this thing. and then be like, all you have to do is call in and talk to us for 30 minutes.
Yep.
He would be fun because he has the right personality for the podcast. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a matter of having a little bit of guts and doing it.
We're hiring an assistant. Our sponsors pay really well. So if you're interested in a job, there you go.
I just got a new job.
Kirkland Hayes. Very well.
Congrats on the new job, by the way.
Organizers might also want to spread the news about their programs.
Is,
and we could find insights into what their hurdles are and where we can help them.
Those connections are already being made. Stay tuned.
My only last suggestion.
Good suggestion.
Lance, your 100th show is in 2 weeks, so you should take
this. This is true.
This is not my 100th show.
Make it happen.
This is your 98th. Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Appreciate anybody else want to come up and ask any questions?
Or like, oh, yeah.
We're going to start surprise questioning people if you don't come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a hot seat question if you come up.
Let's all right. I think that I don't want to just sit here and like stare.
Force people to
come exactly.
up.
Yeah, exactly.
We will call you out.
Uh-huh. let's go ahead and jump into one last thing then and run around the table unless you guys have anything else you'd like to add about the show.
I think we're good.
No? Any hot seat questions from you guys?
100's a lot of weeks.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah. I've got a cool like hot seat question. Would anybody want like, and this is kind of a question for the crowd in general. So we have like a lot of big races where a lot of either the cycling team or a lot of the triathlon team go to. Would you guys be interested in hearing some like post race from people that raced, like some post race interview stuff? I'm seeing some nods.
Yeah.
Okay.
Post race kind of.
That was kind of an idea that I was thinking of, is doing like a little post race segment. We're thinking about
changing this to a complete triathlon podcast.
No. Yeah. Everybody in favor? John. I know John loves that. There we go.
Okay.
The crowd's gonna start fighting here in a minute.
I know. Yeah.
Another thing too. We've been doing this for 100 weeks. Mm-hmm. We have not missed a single episode.
Yep.
You guys want to talk about any of your struggles real quick of making it to a podcast or getting on a podcast or some of the things that you've done?
This is all Jake, by the way.
It
like
is.
This is not
is.
Like he, me, Lance, and
this
Matt.
Is, this is his trophy that I.
That's Jake's trophy.
It's supposed to be when you have to explain your arts and craft project. It's supposed to be 100. It's like an Allen wrench attached to a cyclist, and it's supposed to be like for 100 episodes.
And the cyclist is about to like drill a pole. Like he's going straight into a pole.
It looks like that, but the wheels make the zeros of the 100. Anyway, it's hard to describe on a podcast, but just imagine that it looks perfect because the Arts and Craft Project. I'm not artsy. But congrats to Jake because he really did.
No, it's everybody.
He really did make this podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Because the three of us can come and go.
Oh,
honestly, people, it doesn't really even matter.
Yeah.
Jake has to be.
I think Lance has the funniest ones with. I mean, there were times where we would like Lance would literally be driving in the middle of nowhere, just like Utah somewhere.
It's happened more than once.
Yeah,
it's quite a common occurrence. Or there's been times where I've driven like 14 hours straight to make it home in time. To be here for it.
I did when I got delayed in the Atlanta airport coming back from a race.
Yep.
I was just sitting around on my computer just surrounded by a bunch of really angry people because the flight had just gotten delayed. And there were so many people pissed off around me. There was one lady like giving me dirty looks the entire time because I'm like curled up in the corner as everybody's just pissed off. And
I have posted one of the podcasts from a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Made that happen.
Yep.
I edited. I did everything from a hospital bed, and I've done three other episodes where we recorded them, and then I had to get on the road for some reason from the car, sitting in the front seat of the car while my wife was driving. And then,
shout out to your wife,
exactly.
Man. She's made this podcast
using
happen.
So Rebecca's the reason we made it to 100.
Exactly. And then using the hotspot connection to my cell phone to somehow upload it, and those uploads usually would take about an hour. Usually, it will take me about. I don't know, 5 minutes for it to upload at most, you know, if I'm getting a bad connection. But there's been a few times where we're just driving down the road and I'm like, please, Lord, don't let it drop out again and make me start all over from scratch.
Oh, man.
That was fun. So,
Matt, you did the one right after you separated your AC joint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was therapeutic for me.
Oh, yeah. You were not too happy.
When you're crying, you can cry directly into the microphone.
It sops it up very nicely. It helps
sop it up. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I mean, the harder ones were, like, calling from the middle of nowhere, Michigan, where I'm just like, this is horrible. There's this, you know, I'm battling a coyote for the microphone at that point. So
is that what you think Michigan is?
That's what Michigan is. It's not what I think
homes?
It is.
Do they have homes in Michigan?
No, they don't? There's just log cabins and... wild.
And there's Ohio somewhere around there. Yeah, and then
Ohio doesn't exist.
And just real quick, too, for those who don't know, we actually record this at my house in my home office, which is kind of like the man cave of man caves. For me, at least. Yeah, it's the lab. But
yeah. Are we going to keep it there?
No.
We're moving.
What?
Yes. News. We are moving. Evan, are you sure? You want to give us a little bit of an update on that?
Yeah. So me and Jacob decided that we like hanging out with each other so much we were going to basically create our own clubhouse where I get to play physical therapist and trainer and he gets to play bike team owner. So we're moving into a space together. It is not too far away from Camus, honestly. It's what is it from your house, Jake?
11 minutes.
11 minutes. I know he's timed it on the dot. And it is going to be where we do the podcast. It's where we're going to hold team events. It's going to be called the Dialed Endurance Lab for anybody who has not heard that news yet. And yeah, we are excited. There's going to be a lot of marketing material coming out here in the next couple weeks, and you know we're excited as heck. So
yeah, it's going to be
a couple, which is Tony Curtis.
One more time. I'm Tony.
So the space will also have basically it'll be a clubhouse for the team to come and get all of their needs. We'll try and keep stuff in stock that the team will need, and it will be kind of like a very atypical bike shop where it will be open to the community, and we'll be able to bring them a lot of the stuff that the team has enjoyed over the past couple of years. You'll be doing a lot of functional strength and conditioning, working with athletes. Yep. We'll have an indoor cycling program that we're going to run for the general population, for the team, for our juniors. It's going to be a great place for our juniors to come and be able to get all of the coaching and service needs to help them enhance their overall cycling experience. Our juniors in the next couple of years are going to be something else. I am so excited to watch what happens with these kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Evan will obviously, like you said, bring you the physical therapy component as well, and the bike fits and the gait analysis. And there's going to be so much. So we will have all of that information up very soon for y'all to check out. Yep. Lance will actually be like kind of a part of this to a certain degree. And Matt will be hanging out over there all the time as well.
I'll be what it's called. It's called loitering. It's called loitering when you just kind of hang around a place like that.
Matt and Lance are going to be tasked with teaching me how to post on Instagram, which I got close yesterday.
How many days do you have set aside for this task?
Like 20. So, okay. Yeah.
Lance, what are you going to be doing? Hanging out there?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, he's going to come on and help me out with some dialed stuff. And then a part of what this whole next phase is going to be is the part of the space that we're going to have back there is going to be dedicated to being a creative studio. Well, that's where we will host the podcast out of, and then that's where the YouTube channel will launch out of.
Oh, yeah. So this is news to me. So this is good.
This is a combating YouTube channel to Matt's wildly successful pop station.
Wildly successful. When you take off your shirt and sing to girls on the beach.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
You know the numbers are just going to come in.
Yeah.
Quick side note. Has anybody not seen that guy's video?
Do
yourself a favor and please look it up.
There's another Matt LeGrand on YouTube, and he's a boy band guy, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Effin-tastic.
He has a Christmas song too.
He has a Christmas song.
He has a beach song.
He sings to girls on the beach, and it's like, how can I can't compete with that, honestly.
Matt's kids like him more than they like you.
Yeah. It's really. It's
Yeah.
It's really quite good.
There's a system for that. You can just switch it over to LeGrand.
So,
Matt, you have to parody him on your channel.
We're
that
going
would
to
be
at some point.
The best.
Could happen. It could happen. I'm open to ideas. So, how are you going to work with Lance's schedule? If Lance is Lance like a he's part of your creative team, but I don't know how you're gonna work with
this. He's gonna be shackled to the floor in there. Yeah.
It's like his travel.
I just have to ride every day. If I ride a little bit every day, then I'm available.
I'm gonna be
for
riding over lunch.
That's a lie.
We'll just ride together.
It's a bold faced lie, right?
I'll
there.
Be riding over lunch every single day. So we'll just have to ride together.
When you there just you take go. The van and you just start driving, are you gonna get docked pay?
That's probably. there will be weeks at a time where I'm unavailable. That is correct.
I need some more. vacation time?
PTO, okay. PTO. Yeah. Yep. All right, one last thing, Lance. Start us off. Go.
The only thing I wanted to point out, my beautiful wife just started a art website.
Did she really?
Oh, seriously?
Yes. I've been trying to get her to do that. Yes.
I knew there somebody in your family had to be talented.
Yeah. So yeah, she's the one with the talent. So if you want to check out my wife's art site, yep, and see what it's called, BrandyHeplerArt.com.
Nice.
So Brandy. It's safe. It is a safe website. Yes.
And that's Brandy with two E's.
It's Brandy with two E's, Hepler with two P's, art.com.
Yeah, one E, and you're going to an adult website.
You're going, yeah, someone needs to, don't go.
Watch your E's,
to
baby.
Brandy with a Y. Go to Brandy with two E's.
Okay. That is.
She is an adult, but there are whimsical children's paintings on there, and that's his.
No, I actually really like her art.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
it's,
she
really
does some really cool,
it's
stuff.
Good. It's, yeah, actually good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some hanging up in my office.
I was gonna say, I'm actually looking for like pictures for decoration, so I will probably be getting on there soon. Okay. Really, I'm serious. Yeah.
Evan, one last thing. I know I kind of stepped on your toes a little bit.
No, that was basically it. Is I'm excited to get this next year going.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
gonna be
2020 is gonna be a lot of fun. Yep.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Matt, one last thing.
One last thing. Jake, thank you for making this podcast happen. I know it's a team effort, and it is. It's a team effort, but it's, mm-hmm, the majority of the effort is in your lap.
We are just the talent, Matt. We're the talent. We do not produce anything. Jake, yeah, does all of it. We just talk
the microphone. The heavy lifting has been done by Jake, and we do appreciate it because this is our social hour, and this is fun for us. And
because who else could find 100 bike songs? Like, who knew that there were 100 bike songs out there?
No one.
I didn't. And there's more. I found more.
Good.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Good.
It's going to be alive for a little bit longer, you guys.
So Jake, thanks for doing this and letting us hang out at your house.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say it's been a blast, and I wanted to thank you, fellas. And I want to thank everybody who listens to this. I know it sounds cheesy, but it really makes our day when we get like good positive feedback from you or people coming up and thanking us for that. It really does mean a lot to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then just look for some fun changes to come in the next 100 episodes. I've got a few things up my sleeve, and I usually kind of drop bombs on people at the last. Well, I wouldn't call them bombs, but I say, all right, guys, we're going to do this now.
Yeah.
New segment, new stuff. We're going to like kind of dabble with some other things. So I think it's going to be fun, and it will kind of play in with the YouTube stuff that we're going to do as well. Should be fun.
Nice.
So.
I'm a little scared.
Excellent. The YouTubes.
Mm-hmm. Audience, any one last things from y'all?
Thank you guys for coming.
Cowbell.
We appreciate
more cowbell.
It.
More cowbell.
That's nice of you.
Excellent.
On that note, we appreciate everybody listening. Bye for now.
Save it.